Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful Wheel of Life and another international transmission of You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie.
Yes. That's right, bitches.
We're here in the Animal House studio with Starfire, Grady Don, and your old friend Charlie here.
From the Little D.
Hello, everybody.
Grady Don, what's going on?
Not a lot. I'm letting the Facebook world know what the hell we're up to.
Oh, right on. You logged into the Charlie Shafter Band Facebook.
I'm adminning.
Yeah.
Wow. The future.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Every day I find myself more and more amazed that we're living in the fucking future.
I went to this, when I was in Florida, I went to this yogurt place that was just totally decked out in futureness.
Really?
The garbage cans were futuristic.
Do they have like robots like serving you yogurt?
No, but there might as well have been. Because there was like TV, for the flavors, they could change them. Each flavor was a TV screen that labeled the flavors. And you pulled them down, and they only give you one cup. And you're responsible for how much you put in it, and they do it by weight. And
whoa. It's really I'm just trying to picture this. This is far out.
It's all silver inside, really clean and all silver.
Right. Looks like it should be in Japan.
Or a spaceship or something. And the garbage can.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing to me.
Yeah. The garbage cans were all silver, and they had this weird, they were pointy and had this weird pointiness thing. I can't explain it.
Aerodynamic garbage cans,
exactly.
Right, in case of a hurricane. They're in Florida.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't want them to blow away. Or, if they are blowing away, you want them to, I guess, you know, not have a lot of drag.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. When you're flying toward the future, you want things to be aerodynamic, I think. Right?
I would assume so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I think that's a safe assumption.
You don't want the wind of the past holding you back.
Right, that would suck.
You need to be going right into the future with your garbage cans. I mean, really everything.
Whatever it may be. You know, it could be a sports car, a fast jet.
Yeah.
Or a shiny aerodynamic garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
So what else did you see in Florida, Charles?
A lot of water. There's a lot of water down there.
Yeah. I hear it's mostly surrounded by water. It's invading.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's all these bridges that you drive over water. You're like, wait, I just drove over water. Why do I got to drive over water again? You know what I mean?
Did you see any gators?
I saw the eyes of gators.
At night. Gator eyes, huh?
At night, the red eyes, lifeless eyes, like a doll's eyes. But,
wow.
I went out fishing, catch and release style, caught a bunch of fish. I caught shit tons of fish.
Like out in the open ocean?
Yeah, in the ocean.
Is it the Gulf side or the ocean side?
The Gulf side.
Okay.
So
how was the Gulf? Was it greasy? Oily?
No, it was pretty damn immaculate.
Obama didn't fuck it up?
No.
Well,
I guess not.
I guess he's got another year.
Yeah.
Right? And he can trash that son of a bitch like he wants.
Yeah. I just figured they were doing that, and since I don't ever go to Florida, you know, I just kind of figured in my mind that it's just pretty greasy down there.
Oh, it's real greasy down
there.
Oily,
yeah.
So
the beaches were clean though, and it was nice.
Oh yeah, it was really nice, man.
Did you eat food from the ocean?
Fuck yeah, dude. Every chance I got. I had grouper. I had redfish or hogfish or some shit.
But it didn't taste crude or anything like that?
No. I had oysters, even though it's not really the season, but I was like, I'll get some oysters.
Why not? Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, do the listeners know why you were there?
Oh, I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know if we talked about it before.
Hey, Charlie, what were you doing in Florida?
Yeah, what was going on down there?
My entire family, well, immediate family, all my brothers and sisters, my parents, my brothers and sisters' kids, my nieces and nephews, all the in-laws, all that stuff, we all went down there, plus Morgan, who was the only one who isn't actually...
Oh, that's bullshit. She's part of the family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's part of the family. But Erin, my older sister, made sure she remembered every time that she was actually not part of the family.
That's what older sisters are there for.
Yeah. I mean, she was just fucking around, but...
Well, but yeah, that sounds fun and intense at the same time.
There were 17 of us, and we had this big, huge house in Siesta Key, and we all were in this house. We grilled out every night. We would go to Sam's and just grill out and make big-ass salads, and it was pretty nice.
Big salads.
And then one time we went out to dinner, 17 of us.
Wow. Did it ever get squatchy around there? Did you see any?
Dude, I mean, there's a lot of skunk ape activity around there, I think.
Yeah.
That's where the skunk ape is a little more of a southeastern thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a Floridian thing.
I believe so.
I opened up the refrigerator after one time that we ate dinner, and I thought there was this huge Floridian cockroach in the thing, but it turned out it was just leftover lobster.
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Lobster is the cockroach of the sea.
Yeah, I would think so.
Just like shrimp are kind of like the roly-poly of the sea.
Yeah. But fishing was really cool with Captain Chris. Captain Chris was a good guy. Since it was all the guys. So it was me, Matt Shafter, Matt Martindale, my dad, and Jason, and Patrick. So six of us on this boat.
Yeah, that's heavy duty.
With Captain Chris. And first thing, you know, the captain was telling me, he was like, well, you know, sometimes he was like, I saw your dad walk up smoking a cigarette. So I was like, yeah, these guys smoke. So at least I'll be able to smoke on the boat. Because a lot of times I'm out on the ocean for 6 hours with you know, little yuppies who I can't smoke around. So I'm just sitting there like, I can't wait to get back in to smoke a cigarette.
Right.
So
you can't just jump off the boat and go out and have a cigarette out in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly. And then we got like an 18-pack of beer for six people. Because we left at 8 in the morning, so we're like, we might have some beer later. No,
that's
we
poor
just,
planning.
I know, we just immediately just started drinking, and by 2 hours into it, we were out of beer, so we had to go back to the shore to get more beer.
Did you get your 30-pack?
We got like these, at the dock, they sold these 6-pack of tall boys, so we got like 4 6-packs of tall boys.
There you go.
You know?
That's decent. That should hold you over for another hour or two.
And it did. And we saw dolphins that were hunting. Like, the dolphins and the birds, and this is the actual name for this bird. And so I'm not a racist or anything, but what they're called down there, their nickname are nigger ducks.
Really?
Yeah, because they're these
the
ducks.
Hell?
They're these ducks that are just all black. Well, they're really birds. I don't even know what they are. But they follow the boat around. And when we
this is like accepted nomenclature.
Yeah, this is accepted
like
nomenclature.
They say this on the news and
I don't know.
Like the mayor's like talking about the problems that they're having.
If there's a black guy on the boat and you say nigger duck, he just was, like, you know, doesn't it just goes right by him like no big deal. It's like,
yeah. That's just,
you can say that.
Well, Captain Chris is the one who told me this.
Okay.
Cuz Matt Shafter,
he's the authority on these kind of things.
Matt Shafter doesn't, you know, not that anybody in my, you know, nobody really says that word in my family. Right. And all of a sudden, Captain Chris goes, I was like, what's that? That's a nigger duck. And I was like, and I just looked at him like that. He was like, no, that's what they're called. And so what they did was follow the boat around. And
it's like in the encyclopedias in the public school and the library.
these nigger ducks would follow the boat around, and we would catch the fish and throw them back in, and all of a sudden the nigger duck would come up with the fish in its mouth, just look at us like, yeah, and eat the fish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crafty motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. And he'd swim under the boat, and all of a sudden we're like, where is he? He'd just pop up out of the water.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty cool.
It was really cool.
Did you get any video of any of this?
I don't know if we got video. We got pictures. I know that.
Okay, good. I want to see some of this.
We got video. Yeah, we did get video because we got video of the dolphins and the, you know. Did you know dolphins? Captain Chris was telling me that bottlenose dolphins routinely rape.
Oh yeah.
Porpoises to death.
Yeah, and they'll do that to a human being too.
Yeah,
there are cases of. Yeah. I don't know about to death, but. They'll rape a human being.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, hey.
It's fucking serious.
Yeah. I mean, there's a King of the Hill episode about it, and it was funny and everything.
Yeah.
Because
serious.
But yeah, seriously, that shit happens.
But I
they
was
will
like,
fuck you.
But I was trying to talk to these dolphins to get them to come over and be like, I got at me or something, or just come talk to me. I was like, you're a sentient being. I'm a sentient being. Let's get together here and let's have a conversation. They weren't having any of it. They were too busy hunting the fish that we were trying to catch.
Right. Well, and if you really had some sort of relationship with them, they'd try to rape you.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's why you can't trust a fucking dolphin.
We caught these lizard fish that were fucking weird.
Lizard fish?
They looked exactly like lizards in the face.
I thought you were going to say Jim Morrison.
I am the lizard fish. And you throw them back.
And just for people who listen to this, I'm sorry that the bird's name is Nigger Duck. I don't like saying it. It's not,
It's a really, I laughed several times when you were saying that because it sounds so funny for you to be telling a story like, and then the Nigger Duck, like it just, it.
Like there's probably children's books about this. Yeah. It's.
Well, it is
jarring. It's jarring to my ears, Charlie Shafter. Well, but hey, you didn't name it, man. You didn't name it. You're just reporting back, and you're being a good. Are you about to
Google? I'm
gonna
Google Nigger Duck.
Not on my computer. It's gonna be flagged now.
That's all right.
The community is gonna think things about me that are untrue.
Oh my god.
So
there's a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See, you just opened a can of worms right there, Charles.
Getting ready to break y'all is winner take all. The game is locked, we down to the 8 ball. The time is now, it ain't nothing to wait for. I'm a king by blood, a soldier by nature. I'm something like a threat to y'all space cadets. Cause you never met a brother, nothing like me yet. So push another slice until your toast to tighten the vest. Cause it's a warrior you see and hear tonight in the flesh. I give you something high voltage, double doses. Running with these vultures, giving me ulcers. Which one of these hustlers bringing the thunder? Re-G's, not another man taking us under, nigga, please. Which Philly cat doing his own thing? Might say black, might give you a code name. Round my neck, see the microphone hang. How your lady lips sinking like on Soul Train. The niggas that's a problem's a minimal margin. The colonel, captain, lieutenant, general, sergeant, black one man army moving in on your squadron. You sitting still, you know you a target. You hurt, you better duck down.
Coming, better tuck those chains. But you don't wanna feel them things. If you want it.
Well, maybe we should switch gears, Starfire.
Yes, sir. What's been going on?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, but you kind of turned around on me real quick.
Right yeah, there. Yeah,
I want to talk about the music of Gillian Welch.
Ooh, do it.
Did you go to that show the other day?
I did.
How was it?
It was freaking awesome.
Wait, so where was it at?
It was at the Majestic Theater, downtown Dallas. Cool old theater.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've heard the place.
It's gorgeous. The whole building itself is just really ornate. You know, you'd think you're perfect, sort of what you imagine when you think like a 20s or, era
right.
theater. It's gorgeous. Acoustics are good. They did the sound was really great. They had they used like SM57s and 58s, if you can even call those microphones.
Right. Yeah.
And it was... You know, really, they had it pretty quiet in there, so it was like, really, you're hearing the sound of the theater, you know? It's like
Did they plug in instruments, or did they mic them?
Just mic'd.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I mean, they have those, Rawlings has that really cool old...
Archtop thing.
Yeah, it's like a, 40s Epiphone. I don't think you want to go drilling holes in that thing, unless absolutely necessary. And she's got like a cool...
She played like a Gibson.
Yeah, it's old like Gibson.
Yeah.
Dreadnought.
Did she play banjo at all?
She did.
Awesome.
This great song called One Morning. She has a really great frailing style.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
She does more of the old time mountain kind of style.
Yeah. And he played on one, a song from the new record, Six White Horses, and where she ham bones.
Yeah.
He played harmonica. And then they had like a little mic over to the side where she came over and kind of tapped. And like did a little dance. It was about the cutest thing I ever seen.
Did they have the little drawer? The thing with the drawers?
The box, man. Awesome. That thing is that's cool. That's a part of the sound. They're so great.
Yeah, that's cool.
The and the sound level, I was saying, it was so low that, you know, like, if he'd really kill it on a solo and they, you know, the place would go nuts, you couldn't hear them for, you know, she'd start singing. And they encouraged it. She said, I know we're in a nice place and you feel compelled to behave. Don't worry about it. she was like, I love singing over applause and I'll do it anytime. So
that's cool.
It was great. And anyone out there who, if you don't know the music of Gillian Welch, get into it. It is my favorite thing
she's
that's going
awesome.
Right now.
Man, the first time I heard Gillian Welch and David Rawlings was on A Prairie Home Companion.
They're on that quite a bit.
Like, yeah, and I was just driving, you know, to or from a gig somewhere and just listening to that. I always listen to that shit, and they always have great music on there.
Yes.
And I think I heard, that was one of the first times I heard Old Crow Medicine Show was on there. But yeah, they were awesome, man. They phenomenal. That's cool.
Punch Brothers on there too. They just, yeah, it's a good spot for if you're interested in that kind of music. And I wanted to, it brought up a few points. There's a little interview with Gillian in the Dallas Observer where they talked about a couple of cool things. One point that she made, and this applies to our situation, was they were saying, hey, you know, you put out your last record, Soul Journey, in 2003, and this most recent one came out in 2011. Were you worried that, you know, since so much time had passed, that there, you know, the expectation would be high? And she basically said no. She said, in 10 years, people aren't going to care how long it took me to come out with this record. They're going to care whether it was a good record or not.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
She's a fucking genius.
So, wait, so Soul Journey was the last record that she came out with before that?
I mean, yeah, they did a David Rawlings Machine record in 2009.
When was The Revelator?
That was way before. That was like 2002 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Or
okay.
maybe 2 years before. It seems like late 90s is kind of when those first two records started coming out.
They've been working their asses off, and they play everywhere all the time.
Yeah, The Revelator record, I think that came around right about the same time that Heartbreaker came out, okay. Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
Heartbreaker, I think, was 99.
Maybe.
So maybe, yeah. You know, right, yeah. But yeah, they stay busy. And then, well, they did a Decemberists album.
Old Crow. They played on some Old Crow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they did some stuff with Conor Oberst. They did,
yep, they did
a record with Robin Hitchcock. I mean, it's not like they were...
Yeah, they've been doing a bunch of other shit.
Not like they were just sitting around the house for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And they, you know, still hit all the festivals. And I love that Dave Rawlings record. That just...
Yeah, that's a great record, man.
Kills me. So good. What is it? It was an older crowd, and I start to feel like, you know, we're just headed that way. Are we getting older, guys?
I think so.
I feel like we are.
There's something so romantic about, you know, two people up on the stage who sing together so well, and then they have those great instruments, acoustic instruments, and it gives me as a musician like a feeling I don't get from electric guitars. I love fucking electric
I'm
guitars.
I'm sick of electric instruments, man. Like, and it's not just because they always fuck up and that annoys me because I have to sink money into a fucking instrument that plays fine, but then, you know, it's electronics and shit. But it's really that there's all this bullshit you have to deal with, and I'd rather just fucking have my instrument and play and not have to deal with plugs and effects and amps and fucking volume, and it's so much more natural, you know. There's nobody competing for loudness in an acoustic group because everybody is at their volume that their instrument naturally produces, you know.
Right.
And you quiet down, you know, like playing in that bluegrass band.
Mix.
Yeah, like I've watched people, like when we're playing parties or something, you know, totally acoustic, like when the guitar player goes, that's obviously going to be the biggest volume drop going from strumming, you know, chords all the way at the end of the neck to playing single strings.
Yeah. Right, and you pay attention to, the rest of the band pays attention to dynamics.
Yeah, and, yeah. So I've watched people be like, oh man, check it out, they're, you know, you kind of calm down right here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're doing it automatically, we don't even, you know, we don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
And
well, and there's something to be said about a volume that isn't overwhelming, because if you have a crowd of people who are paying attention and listening, I think if it's soft, you know, like you're saying, you know, people will be even more quiet so that everyone can hear it, you know, and there's a more of a united cosmic hippie bullshit thing going on with it, but it's fucking cool, you know.
I think you're right, but I think that there's nothing more boring than, if it's an acoustic show, that's perfect to be quiet. But to me, there's nothing more boring than a really soft rock show. You know what I mean? Like, when I see a band, and I've always felt like, not that I want it to be crazy loud. But
you're talking about using, then you're getting into using electronic.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's hard to get around it in some way now.
Exactly. And I think that's what kind of irritates me, is that it's just this accepted thing that every guitar plugs into a direct box.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It would be interesting to maybe, you know, if someone would build a listening room that was, you know, pre-electronic instruments. So you set up a bandstand the way you did back in the day, where it's, you know, the whole thing is, like, you know, Carnegie Hall or something is I'm thinking right now, but
oh, yeah,
designed for all the, you know, all the noise to go that way, to go toward
right,
the audience.
It projects it, yeah.
And, you know, when you put a PA in there, you know, hang stuff at the front of the stage, or like the Granada Theater even, when you're, you know, listening in there, I've always thought that was a weird room, because it's not really made to have 140 watts.
Right.
Of, you know.
And like, it sounds great in there. You know, like,
yeah.
in...
See, I think it sounds great in there too, but I think I've heard the Granada sound the worst I've ever heard anything sound, well, you know, ever heard a theater like that. And it's always when somebody brings their own fucking sound.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They seem to have like a very powerful system, and the people who work there know exactly how to run it.
Yeah. And then some band will bring their own sound guy, and the openers, who the guys who work there, sound way better than the than the headlining band, because the headlining band's got their sound guy up there and he doesn't know the room.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he's never been in that room before.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You gotta, it's, yeah, so that's another thing too. You have to mix to the room, right? You can't just go into that place being like, this is any old PA in any old barn.
No offense to any sound guys out there listening.
Yeah, because we love you.
Because if you're listening to this podcast and you're a sound guy, you are one of our favorite sound guys.
Yeah, if you're Gyro or Andy or somebody like that, we're sorry.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yes, those are just some of our favorite sound guys.
Yeah.
Sound guys are an interesting breed, right? They're always good guys. If you're on the road and you don't know where to find weed, you can talk to the sound guy or the bartender, and they're going to be the guys to hook you up. If you never met those people before in your life, one of the two of them is going to have shit.
Right.
You heard it here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, touring musicians know these things.
Sure. It's a good person to ask.
Just like when you got to take a steamer, you go into Barnes & Noble.
Very true.
Provided that there is one. But
right, or whatever the local bookstore is.
Yeah.
Becky Johnson bought the farm, put a needle in her arm. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. Then her brother laid her down in the cold Kentucky ground. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby clothes. That's the way that it ends. Though there was a time when she and I were friends. Then Miranda ran away, took a cat and left L.A. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. She was busted, broken flat, and had to sell that pussy cat. That's the way that it goes, that's the way.
Have you ever had a sound gig?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've done a few sound gigs, you know, I used to do sound at the Boiler Room every now and then whenever they needed a sound guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it I've had jobs at, you know, I started at Mabel Peabody's, I worked at Rubber Gloves, I worked at Haley's, and I've done a few other, Boiler Room for a little while.
Yeah.
I guess Boiler Room was the last, like, steady one that I had, but, man, I just can't do it. Those guys who can fucking have a great time, but I can't do it.
It definitely makes you respect the sound guy more.
Yeah.
Once you've had that, just like with anything, once you've been on that side of it, then you understand, okay, I'm going to get out of this guy's way, let him do his job, and be polite to him. And sometimes things don't go right, and that's not his fault.
Right.
You know? Sure. I've been in that situation too where someone's blaming the sound guy or being a dick to the sound guy, like he ruined your show.
I've seen Isaac Brock, the lead singer of Modest Mouse, threatened to kill the sound guy at a show in Oklahoma one time because his mic kept feeding back. And he was singing through a CB microphone that was duct tape with the button down. Like, come on. And the dude was sweating bullets, man. I was standing right by the board. And the dude's looking at his like assistant, like shrugging his shoulders. I don't know what to do, man. I bet he really thought Isaac Brock was going to shank him after the gig, man.
Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't put it past Isaac Brock.
It was crazy. I don't know if it was all part of the show or if that dude is 6 feet under. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you got to show him respect. They're, you know, it's not an easy job. That's the thing, you know, you're getting at is it's a tough position to be in, and there's a lot hinging on you. I used to hate it every time, you know, someone who's like, has a handheld mic and they drop their hand so it's pointing right at the monitor and then it feeds back and then all eyes shoot back to the sound guy. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Nah, man, that's that dumb bitch doesn't know how to hold a fucking microphone.
Yeah, that's poor mic technique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what the stands for, dummy.
I remember doing sound for the Blue Hit, who I like very much,
yeah.
But the girl, the singer, Grace, was sick. And so she was kind of, you know, when we were talking before the show, she's kind of like, I don't feel very well. And she's like, and she's all got tea and all other hippie bullshit to, you know.
Right. All that good stuff.
Help her make it through the show. And so I don't usually use like reverb or anything, but I was like, you know, I'll give her a little reverb. It'll kind of, you know, she can use
out.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she... like two songs in, I guess, I think what I did, I made the mistake of leaving it on when she was talking in between songs.
Oh yeah.
So she heard it and she's like, can you take that off? Like, I don't want any reverb on, you know, and yet another time where the whole place kind of looks back at me like, I'm just trying to be nice. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
But this would help.
And that reverb I can understand, but sometimes sound guys that have never heard your set before
want to put delay.
Like insane delay. Too many milliseconds of delay,
yeah.
With too much repeat, and it's like, how you guys doing? Doing. Good to be here tonight. And it's like, you know, it's like, come on, man.
Oh God, who used to do that all the time?
I don't know. I've heard it a couple of times where, you know, you could tell the sound guy's just feeling creative for the night or something, and he does it in some cool ways. And a lot of times,
like, I don't mind it at all. Andy does it on Spaceship sometimes.
Yeah, and it can be cool.
And that's cool. But. Yeah.
But it's the guys who've never heard your set before that are like, oh, they're this kind of band. And they just, like, plug in all the bullshit, you know? It's like, oh, thank you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
It's definitely, since I've been in the band, it's happened somewhere. Was it the Skinnies show?
What the fuck is Skinnies?
That was the South by Southwest. South by. Yeah, it could have been.
There was one. I can't remember where it was. And it's also, like I said, we're polite. We want to be nice. We know to be nice to the sound guys, so you don't want to...
Yeah, because they can totally make you sound like shit if they want to.
Right, and when shit like that happens, it's like, you know, they're just doing their job.
If we care that much about it, make some more money and get your own fucking sound guy.
Well, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's not that big a deal. It just kind of,
you're going into their house, you know what I mean?
It's always a weird feeling, though, when you're on stage and something like that happens.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that?
It's like there's somebody else on stage that you didn't ask them to come up there, you know? That's
well, and there's no polite way to...
Exactly. Yeah, it's an awkward.
From the stage over the mains to say, "Hey man, could you not do that? It's almost like we should set up a mic where you're just talking to the sound guy. Like you give him a little cue, he puts on headphones. You're like, "Hey man, lose that fucking delay."
Yeah. Or we should come up with some lingo. Like I've been researching trucker lingo.
Yeah,
there's a lot of great.
Did you find the bear in the air?
Bear in the air. That's
a helicopter, right?
Well, yeah, that's a helicopter in the air. If you could have a Smokey in the air.
Yeah.
Bears, Smokies. It's because Smokey the Bear. He's got that hat, you know. So there's a lot of them. There's a lot of good trucker sayings out there. We should come up with some that sound guys and musicians can.
Yeah, relate to.
Yeah. I love reading the trucker lingo because it's fucking hilarious. Some of it is. Like a radar gun is a hair dryer.
Huh. Awesome.
Yeah. There's, what's another one? Brown paper bag. That's an unmarked car.
Ah.
Right.
That's like when you're drinking a beer in a brown paper bag so the cop can't see it?
Well, if there's a brown paper bag on the side of the road, that's an unmarked car.
Sure.
With a hair dryer. He's going to take your picture.
I get you.
Yeah. He's taking. Sometimes they call it a camera, too, taking pictures.
I can't remember. I feel like I was waiting in traffic one time, and a buddy of mine had, I think we were taking walkie-talkies. I think we were going to see a Phish concert, and we were going to take walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies are always great at festivals and big concerts. Yeah.
Well, and then we're stuck in traffic, so we're listening. We're just dialing it, and we're listening to the truckers talk back and forth. And this one guy is like, he's like, "Yeah, a helicopter flew by earlier." And he's like, "Took my Wooger out, shook it at him." we were loving that shit.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there's a trucker's an interesting community, man.
We need to get a CB radio for the van.
That would be badass. "Hey, driver, move over, could you?"
Right, we'll get it. We'll get a, an awesome handle.
Yeah.
And
real badass,
right?
Yeah.
And we'll just keep it on channel 19 all the time. That's like the universal channel where you just pick up all the good news that's coming up and down the highway.
Fuck yeah, man.
Well, let's comb eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CB radio. I mean,
my dad used to have a handheld one, but we need one professionally mounted into the van.
Right. We'll get it like hardwired into the back of the van where we can plug in a bunch of shit and we'll all just be doing some CB shit. It's going to be awesome.
You can't see, but he was holding CBs. Left hand, right hand.
You can't see us.
You can't see us. You can sure as fuck hear us, though.
That's right.
You can't see us, but we're here.
To send us your thoughts, write to starfireandcharlie@gmail.com.
Well, we've got some questions here, a couple of them.
Questions? What kind of questions have we got here?
Well, first off, we've got a question from Chase Reynolds.
Hello, Chase. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Chase.
Chase, what does Chase have to say?
It says, "Did you write Big City Baby, and how did you come up with the song? Hope to catch you in Oklahoma sometime."
We need to get up to Oklahoma.
I did indeed write Big City Baby.
However did you come up with that fucking thing, man?
I have absolutely no idea. It was a long time ago, so
that was a hit song for you. That did pretty well on the charts.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I don't know how well it did, but it did do well.
The folks love it.
Yeah, the folks like it.
Where'd it come? Like, where do you think did you come up with the idea, Big City Baby, and then ride around that? Are you?
Oh no, I never do that. I just play the guitar and then just sing shit.
Just random words.
I never have an idea.
You make it sound so magical.
Well, I never have an idea that I'm like, "Hey, I want to write a song about this and make it do this and do that." I never do that. That's why my songs are so stupid.
How many people will mistake that for Big Titty Baby?
I don't know, but I've sang it some in while I'm singing, you know what I mean?
Usually like to throw something in, you know, just for the enjoyment of the people who are really paying attention.
Right.
I've been doing that Gordon Lightfoot song, Early Morning Rain.
In the early morning rain.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he says, like, but the liquor tasted good, and the women all were fast. Well, sometimes I'll say the women all were fat, you know, just because some guys like that, you know.
Fat girls love it.
Sure, sure. So, you know, just a little something.
Well, now, he wrote that song?
As far as I know.
Because I'm pretty sure Ian Sylvia did it.
I don't think they wrote anything, though.
No, they didn't write it. But I thought Ian Sylvia was a long time before Gordon Lightfoot. You know what I mean?
As far as I know, I think they'd be right around the same era. How many Starfires does it take to fix that mic stand for
Charlie? Which gives us to our second question. Don Todd says, how many Starfires does it take to change a light bulb?
Which should we ask, Starfire, or maybe you and I'll sort of, you know, have a guess, and then Starfire will let us know.
I can tell you the answer.
All right, yeah, tell us the answer.
None. I don't change fucking light bulbs, man.
That's right. You just point at them and they come back to life.
Yeah. I don't have to change light bulbs. They don't die on me.
Yeah.
Nikola Tesla made me some light bulbs that have been going for, I mean, they've been burning for about 20 years now.
I like those because you touch them and the little purple lightning goes straight into the tip of your finger.
Yeah, they're psychedelic, man. Yeah. They're very psychedelic.
They trip my shit out hard, bro.
I got an interesting text from Mr. Todd the other day.
Oh, yeah?
The same Todd who asked the question?
Yeah.
Great question, Todd. Keep listening.
Let's see. Don Todd says, what did he say? Well, I can't find it.
Oh.
That was pretty interesting, but though, yeah, wasn't it? It was in there somewhere. But
that
I think
makes for great podcast, man.
You know, that's what makes us the number one podcast on our blog site.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's pretty impressive.
Dude.
Yeah, it really is.
Who else is the number one on our blog site?
Nobody. I mean, I guess that could be bad. We're also the last podcast, you know, the lowest. We're the highest and the lowest rated podcast.
Just kind of how you think of it. And I don't want to think of it that way.
You know, our listenership has been growing. We have a lot of faithful listeners out there that are downloading this podcast every week, even when we don't put one out. They just go back and download an old one or something, and it's great. You folks are keeping this shit alive. You need to keep downloading more. And when you come to a Charlie Shafter show, buy a You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie
T-shirt.
We've got them.
They're soft.
$20.
It's a fine T-shirt.
It really is, and that's not a very high markup there. That $20. They're nice T-shirts. So.
High class T-shirt, high quality.
And if you know what, email starfireandcharlie@gmail.com. We'll see if we can't get you one another way if you can't come out to a show.
Yeah, we will. We'll get you one.
Well, come out to a show.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of shows.
What do you got coming up, Charles? What's going on?
I don't know.
We're going to be in Amarillo and Lubbock.
Yeah, coming up. When's that?
That is
the week right before July. The
28th and 29th, I believe. It'd be Thursday the 28th in Amarillo at the Golden Light Cantina. And then the 29th at the Blue Light in Lubbock.
Yes.
Blue Light Live.
All right. We haven't been to either one of those places in a while. So
it's going
to
be cool.
It will be.
That'll be fun. We've got Green Hall coming up at some point.
Yeah, that's coming up. We've got stuff coming up. I don't know.
End of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a record coming out. And there's
August 21st, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a date.
Well, I was just about to ask.
It's going to happen. I think it is. Is it August 21st of this year?
Yeah.
2012.
Okay.
So it's going to be a lot earlier than we planned.
Yeah. See, I heard August 21st, but I just figured 2013.
Yeah.
If we made it.
Right.
That's just what I had in my head. Wow. So in just a couple of months.
Yep. And we're going to have to get going on that.
Get the ball rolling.
That's
shit.
Right.
All right. CD will be here before you know it. I mean, it took Gilliam Welch like 8 years to make a CD. So I think you're doing pretty good, Charles.
Me too, man.
Yeah. It's only taking you like 5 or more.
Yeah.
How long has it been since when did the last CD come out?
2009.
Okay.
2008.
That's the live one, right?
No.
Well, that one does. That's a bootleg.
Yeah.
We're trying to stop those people from selling that.
Y'all should.
No, I like it because I like the Live of the Blue Light because, basically it's the only record that we really have of the Gnomes.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It I is. Like it being out there. Just it was a period of time. It was just a shot of time.
It's a snapshot.
It's a snapshot of time.
That's true. That's
you know
great.
What I mean?
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll allow the bootleggers to continue bootlegging that.
Yeah.
So you're saying if I want to look at a picture of time, I listen to that CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty far out. You got to...
I'm picking it up, man.
Yeah.
I'm picking it up.
Word.
Should we do the song of the week? Or
I
we
think go? It's that time. What sounds good to you fellas?
Well, Jason Eady just came out with a new record, and I love it. Grady loves it.
I also love it very much.
It's really, it sounds just like real old school country.
And AM
country heaven.
AM country heaven. We played a gig the other day somewhere, and I found a koozie that had Jason Eady's logo on it.
And can I have it?
I lost it.
Lost it.
I lost it at the gig. I had it for about an hour, and then I couldn't find it.
That's just one of those koozies.
I think...
You can't really own that koozie.
It was probably someone else's, and I commandeered it, and then they said, hey, that's my koozie. Whose fucking beer is this? And then they drank my beer and stole my koozie. But it wasn't really mine to begin with, so.
Yeah. That's pretty just, I'd say.
Yeah.
I want to hear, do you have one in mind?
I don't really care. I was thinking the title track, but, I mean, that's not necessarily anything. I was just not that made sense, but I'm open to anything. I like the whole record.
I was thinking the second one, this old guitar. I don't know, it, you know, it's a little more upbeat. I like upbeat stuff, not like you.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you have this record?
I do. Bought it on iTunes, which the listeners can also do. We encourage that.
This record was actually produced by Kevin Welch as well.
He's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So the song's actually called Old Guitar and Me.
Well, I just turned 35, but it feels a whole lot like 23. I'm still waiting on growing up. Maybe then I'll figure out just what I'll be. And I've tried the 9-to-5 before, but me and that suit and tie did not agree. So it's back to jeans, worn out shirts, and nothing but this old guitar and me. Well, my car is barely running, but I've run enough for both of us, I guess. And my pockets are all empty, but knowing what I do, that's for the best. Well, I gave up on settling down. Don't thank God I made the ground to fit my feet. So I'm writing these words, singing these songs with nothing but this old guitar and me. Well, I've exceeded expectations, spoken wild exaggerations now and then. I've sank down to the bottom. Ain't it funny where you find your best friend? Now I'm somewhere in the middle where it only takes a little to be free. So I'm digging in and keeping time with nothing but this old guitar and me. Well, my car is barely running, but I've run enough for both of us, I guess. And my pockets are all empty, but knowing what I do, that's for the best. I gave up on settling down. Don't thank God made the ground to fit my feet. So I'm writing these words and singing these songs with nothing but this old guitar and me. Yeah, I'm writing these words and singing these songs with nothing but this old guitar and me.
That's some classic shit, man.
Yeah.
Some great picking.
The whole
huh?
record's pretty damn classic, man.
Sounds like some old school Merle.
Exactly. You
know, I'm digging that.
Obviously, like Waylon kind of influence on mm-hmm. that. It's a great record, and there's a pretty cool clip on YouTube of him just sort of talking about what the idea behind it was. And I was talking to Hillary about it. He's the one who played it for us that day when we were hanging at my house.
Right, Hillary Early.
Hillary Early. We should talk about him a little bit.
Killer steel player, man.
Great friend of mine, too. You know, making a record like this is a bold thing, I feel like, because he's not going to tear up the popular country charts with this. It's a record for guys like us, or, you know, people who like that kind of music. And so I think that's ballsy. I think that's badass, and he's got my respect for it.
Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to Jason at, I don't know, a couple months ago, and he said he didn't even do any distribution on it or anything. He was just like, man.
But people love this fucking record.
I know, but he's just going to let it take its course.
Yeah, and that's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the future of the music business.
Yeah, I think so,
too. People just saying, hey, I want to record this record, and they put it out, and if people dig it, then it does well.
Yeah.
You know? There's so much music out there that's the way to do it, you know?
Just like The Shawshank Redemption was a box office flop. And now it's the number one rated movie of all time.
And now you can't go through your cable guide. Like right now, we could go through the 100 channels that are on the cable, and it would be one of those movies on there.
Yeah.
That and A League of Their Own. They show those two movies all the time.
Yeah.
You got cable, man?
I do. We got fancy-ass cable. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so Hillary Early, he sat in with us. We played Tuesday night at Dan Silverleaf, a sort of a free chill kind of show, and man, I thought he kicked ass.
Me too, man.
So who does he regularly play for?
He plays for Max Stalling.
That's what I thought. Max. Okay. Hillary's a monster, man. I mean, he's just
one of those guys. He
can play anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, heard him play the shit out of the mandolin.
Right.
He can. He's a phenomenal guitar player, and I know he went to school for voice.
Yeah.
So he's a triple threat, and then some.
He's a musical son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's not one of those guys. It's like
and a
he
hell
just
of a
picks...
dancer too.
He's
that cat can pick up some choreography like nobody's business.
Well, he's a tender lover.
I wasn't aware of that one, but
he's a man through and through.
He's got two pet Sasquatches.
I want some strike a guy out with two pitches.
He wants
hit a standing triple off of Fidel Castro.
He's a badass.
Yeah. Love you, Hillary.
All right. Well, that's the music. Join us next week.
We out, bitches.
Yes. We've got another great show planned for you. See you next week.
Planned?
Oh, yeah. We plan everything.
Scripted.
For producer James the Robot, technical engineer Nikola Tesla, and your host Starfire on the Mountain and Charlie Shafter, this has been another episode of You Can't See Us.